All God's people said, amen. Amen. Wasn't that beautiful? Good morning. Happy Sabbath and very Merry Christmas to you all. We're so glad you could be here with us this morning. We know you have your choices of other churches in the area, but we're so glad and pleased that you could be here with us this morning as friends and family. It's a special day. It's a special time of the year, and we're glad you're here with us. We'd invite you, if you haven't been invited, we do have a fellowship meal immediately after. So if you're not going to have fellowship meal or a meal with friends or family, please stick around and enjoy some good times with us. Let's have just a quick word of prayer. Father God, once again, as we think of the reason for the season, we think of Jesus. We think of you. We think of the blessings that you have bestowed. And as we come to this time of the year, when hearts are receptive, hearts are open to the preaching of the gospel, to the sharing of the good news and the message of Jesus Christ soon to return, we thank you, Father, that you will be with us this morning and in the days ahead as we soon begin a new year. We ask your presence now. We know you've been here. We ask it in an even greater manner, in a greater way. And I ask that you would just help me to speak what needs to be said this morning, Father, no more, no less. And to be an instrument for you, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here we are. 2016, Christmas Eve. One more week, and our year will be over. And I don't know about you, but it's hard for me to believe how fast the year has gone. It just seems like a couple of months ago we were here doing this before. But time has flown so fast. You know, my mom used to tell me that. She said, when you get older, you'll realize time is going to move faster for you. And everybody I've talked to has said that. Everybody says that you're young, you can't wait till you get to be 15 or 16 or 21. And I think about the time you're 30, it just starts going faster and faster and faster. And it's incredible that we're here already. Christmas Eve 2016. And it's been a good year for most of us. For some of us, maybe not so good. But Jesus Christ is in control. Whatever is happening in our life, we have Jesus Christ that we can count on, that we can rely on. But it has been a good year for this church, all in all, for the most part. We have a new pastor, a new family. We see some growth going on within our church. We see new people coming and visiting. Please come back. We'd love to see you more. We've had an exciting evangelistic series this year, with some 20-some baptisms, I think. I can't remember exactly, but we've had a lot of baptisms, and they are hanging in there, and they're doing Bible studies, and they're staying with us. And that's right. Praise God. And not to mention the recent political race. And there's been a new word added to the Webster Dictionary, I think, because of that, and that is surreal. And I'm not going to get into politics, but it has been a good year, a strange year in some ways, but it has been a good year. We have only a few hours left until Christmas morning. Have you finished your shopping yet? I hear some snickering. Have you finished your shopping yet? If not, you'll have a couple of hours after Sabbath. I'm sure some of the stores will stay open as late as they can to take advantage. I'm sure you can probably buy up until about 8 or 8:30 tonight at some of the stores. But if not, you'll have just a few hours after Sabbath to get your final shopping finished up. And I'm going to ask you to be brave. How many of you still need to do some shopping? Oh, thank you. Thanks for hanging in with me. I appreciate that. So anyway, but we do need to be crazy. We need to be safe out there. There are some crazy people who are trying to take advantage of the last few hours of Christmas shopping. I happened to go into a store the other night. Just was going to stop in for just a couple of minutes to pick something up real quick, and it was quite a lengthy experience with everybody doing their last-minute shopping. So please be careful if you do go out tonight. But you know what's interesting? We rush around so much at Christmas, trying to find the perfect gift for each of those that we are gifting. It can be a very stressful time. And we hear traumatic stories about things that can happen in the malls. About every year we hear stories of people who get hurt sometimes even killed, in an attempt to what they try to get, what they think is that perfect gift for their loved ones. And all too often, it's over something that has no real lasting value. Especially when it comes to parents and grandparents buying gifts for children and grandchildren. Every year, there seems to be a new item that everyone seems to need and can't live without. A couple of years ago, I hear some uh-huhs. People are seeing it, recognizing it too. A few years ago, it was the Cabbage Patch dolls. Everybody had to have a Cabbage Patch doll. Then it was the Nintendo video games, and then it was the Tickle Me Elmo. And if somebody would please put the newest craze on the screen here this morning.
Angry Birds.
Huh? Angry Birds, no. Who knows what it is? Chucky Momo, no. Wow, okay. This is a Hatchimal. Hatchimal. This is the newest, greatest thing out there for kids. And they are going like hotcakes. All right, let me read this to you here real quick. Has anybody seen one besides this picture? You've seen them? Okay. Anybody have one? Anybody buy one? It's okay. You can be brave. These things set retail for $50. It's about this tall, and you rub the egg. They come in an egg. That's what's in the very back, the egg. And you rub the egg, and this little critter comes out. It's all electronic. So kids buy it, they rub the egg, and they get one of two of these in each package that comes out. And they're $50 a piece, retail. The last time I looked on eBay, they were $329. Because you can't find them. They're sold out. They are completely sold out. I want to read something here to you real quick, and I'm not going to take too much time, but I'm going to read this to you. One of the most popular toys this holiday season can pack itself out of the plastic egg that comes in after responding to a child's touch. There's a fluffy robot called either a Pingula or an Owlicorn, and I'm not quite sure what that's all about, but this furby little creature discovers that it can sing Happy Birthday. Its eyes change color and it chirps. And all across the United States, those seeking Hatchimals have encountered empty shells and depleted stocks online. Walmart advertises this animal for $48.88, and secondary sellers are posting it on the Walmart's website at $329 per toy at this point in time. Now, this was taken a couple of weeks ago as I was preparing the sermon. Spin Master, who builds the machine or builds the toy, says the company unveiled the toy in October after 2 years of development. And he says, as far as we know, it's the only toy that's been able to hatch on its own. And it says the master of robotics of the company. But Hatchimals are smashing success, outstripping the Spin Master's expectations exponentially. In a November investor statement, the retailers reported exceptional customer response. And that's a bit of an understatement. Industry experts heralded the toy as a commodity on par with the Cabbage Patch Kids, or perhaps as the second coming of the Beanie Babies, if you remember the Beanie Babies. They're an act of God, is how this was described, the way these things are selling off the internet now. There's another article here that I won't take the time to go through the whole thing, but there's another purchasing here, a woman who bought $24,000 worth of these things. In order to buy them, she knew they were going to be the next best thing, next big thing, and she bought them for an investment. And now she knows that as soon as Christmas is over, the newness is going to wear off, and she's going to be stuck with a whole bunch of these things. So anyway, the Hatchimals, the greatest new thing in the market for kids today. But buying gifts, buying presents, is not just for Americans, or for the kids, excuse me. Americans will spend approximately $60 billion this year during the holidays. That works out to about $900 per shopper spending gifts for families and friends this year. And I can be right there with the rest of the shoppers. I can't tell you the number of times over the years that I have purchased something for someone else, or sometimes even for myself, that I just had to have because it was the in thing at the time, only to realize that it is the next best in thing only for a short time. And the next in thing spikes my interest, and off I go in pursuit of that next must-have item. I think we men are probably more susceptible to that than the women. But the world tells us not. The world tells us that bigger is better, newest is coolest, and time after time, we buy into that slogan. Bigger is better and newest is coolest. Okay? Now, I want you to know I'm not against gifts. Okay? Don't get me wrong here. This is not an anti-gift sermon this morning. I love gifts. I love giving gifts. I love receiving gifts. Okay? In fact, I have a birthday coming up very soon, just so you know. And if you need some ideas, I'd be happy to help you. All right? Because I love gifts. Gifts tell people that you give them to and you receive them from how much you love them. You give a gift to somebody that's just the right gift and that you just know it, it tells them that you love them. But giving gifts can be a problem. That's why Walmart and the others will be open on Monday. So, but if you love someone, you really want to make sure you give them something that they really want or something that they really need. And ideally, you want to see that look of joy on their face as they open the gift. And even before they say a word, you know it's perfect. You ever had that experience? You give somebody a gift and they open it up. And even before they say a word, you know, boom, you are on target. You hit it. You got it just right. But that doesn't always happen. And like I said, that's why Walmart and Penny's and Sears and all the others will be open bright and early Monday morning, so you can take back that beloved gift that you really can't wait to get rid of, right? But it's sad. You can work so hard to get that perfect gift, and then it doesn't fit, or it isn't the right color, or maybe it got broken in the box, or you already have one, or the design doesn't match what the person already has, or worst of all, it really wasn't what they wanted or needed at all. Nothing can make you feel worse as they unwrap the present and open the box, and then there's that short pause, just a microsecond. But in that moment, you already know the truth. Oh. Those two letter words. Oh. It's beautiful. It's beautiful, honey. Thank you so much. I really like it. But you know it's not true. Do you like it? Really? Do you really like it? Oh, yeah. Wow, it's beautiful. Thank you. No, do you really like it? Like it? I love it. I love it. But you're not fooled. You know it's not what they wanted or what they needed. And then you try to go in for the save. I can take it back. I can exchange it for something else. And you know that's not going to happen, right? Right, you know that's not going to happen. No, really, really, it's perfect. But you're not fooled. You know it's not what they wanted at all. You spent all that time, all that energy looking and searching and fighting the crowds, only to realize it wasn't right. It wasn't the right present. Can you relate? I know from the laughter and some of the comments that were made, we can all relate to something like this. We can all remember a time or two when we anticipated a present that we received, only to discover after you received it, it was not what you thought it was. I'm a great buyer for myself. I try to buy stuff for myself when I do buy it because I think only I know what I really want. And then I find out that after I bought it, after a couple of days, it really wasn't what I wanted or needed. It was just the next best thing. Presents. Presents are material things that we give and receive that cannot satisfy the longing in our hearts. The longing for something spiritual. The longing for something with a purpose in life. For a focus in our life or for a contentment in life. Because satisfaction in life only comes from the gifts or gifts that impacts our lives spiritually.
Amen.
Do you ever feel like Christmas? It's a whole lot of promise, but not a lot of substance.
Amen.
Here it is, Christmas Eve. Some of us have been running full throttle since Black Friday. We've been shopping. We've been sending Christmas cards, attending parties, wrapping gifts, baking cookies, yada, yada, preparing for families and friends to arrive and share the season, which is awesome. I'm not going to down that at all. Our daughter is here visiting with us this season, and I'm so pleased that our daughter was able to make it for Christmas. But sometimes it can seem overwhelming, and we may ask ourselves, is this really the Christmas promise? Is this really what Christmas is all about? You may ask, what is this Christmas promise? We do have a Christmas promise. If you would, please turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 7. Isaiah, chapter 7. Isaiah 7. 700 years prior to the birth of Jesus, the prophet Isaiah foretold of a coming Messiah. The people of Jerusalem were suffering. Their cousins to the north in the kingdom of Israel were being massacred by the Assyrian Empire, and the Assyrians were threatening to invade Jerusalem as well. And the people of Jerusalem were terrified, hungry, and oppressed. And God promised them, the people of Jerusalem, through Isaiah, that God would not abandon them, that they would suffer for a while, but eventually God would bring them a Messiah. A Messiah would be the anointed one, a man who would be the ruler of Israel and lead the people into a time of peace. He would be a great king, and they would call him Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And Isaiah went on to write in 7, verse 14, a description of this coming Messiah. And it says, therefore the Lord himself will give you this sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and will call his name Emmanuel. 700 years later, there was a carpenter named Joseph from Nazareth. And he had a dream. And in that dream, an angel talked to him about his fiancée, Mary. And the angel told Joseph that the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. Noreen read this for us this morning. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And that is the Christmas promise, that God is with us. 700 years prior to the birth of Christ, and at the time of Christ, Emmanuel, God will be with us. And that is the promise, that the Lord Jesus Christ will be with us. But he wasn't going to use violence to end the violence. He wasn't going to snap his fingers and make everything magically perfect again. But he was going to give up riches. He was going to give up riches and power and the glory of being God and become like one of us. He was going to show us that the only way to end violence, hatred, and famine and war was through humility, compassion, and sacrificial love. And he came to show us how to live like that. But how is this to happen? John 1, verse 14 tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the Apostle Paul says it in this way. If you'd like to turn with me to Philippians 2, verses 5 to 8. It's a very familiar passage, Philippians 2, 5 to 8. And it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. Born of a virgin under the law, crawled off the cradle to live as a righteous man through his life, sinless and perfect. Went to the cross to be my substitute and resurrected to give us eternal life through his presence in our lives. There's a difference between presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S, and the presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. His presence is the greatest gift that we can give or receive to somebody today. His gift, his presence in your life is not empty, like gifts can be. It's not hollow, but it should be exhilarating. It is a life giver. It won't break or rot away or rust away. It will never wear out. It will never lose its power. And it's the gift that keeps on giving. It's the gift that lasts for eternity. A couple of weeks ago, Susan and I were at a funeral service for her Aunt Dorothy's husband, Susan's uncle, Monty. And it was a great service, as great as services could be. Forgive my use of the word great. But the pastor gave a wonderful presentation, and it just went well. And Aunt Dorothy was just surrounded by kids and family and friends. She put on a brave face. Monty had been married to Dorothy for 60 years. And as we were getting ready to leave, I turned to take one last look at Aunt Dorothy as we were leaving. And you could see it in her eyes. She was devastated. Even though she was surrounded by friends and family, she was so alone. And all you can do in a situation like that is pray for the Lord's presence to come upon them. And to be in their lives, to be with them. And I'm sure that tonight she'll have friends and family and gifts, and tomorrow morning she'll be with friends and family and she will open gifts. But I will tell you, she will give every one of her presents away if she could for the presence of Uncle Monty. And that's really important to her. That should be important to her. But what I wish she would say is that I would give all my presents and gifts away to have the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. That's the presence that she needs. The gifts will come from love. Eventually they'll wear out. Eventually they'll go away. Eventually they'll rot, rust, whatever the case is. But the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in her life is what she needs to finish out her life, whatever, however long that may be. She's a tough German stock. She's probably got another 30 years left in her. I know. Both her mother and father were that way. But the presence of Jesus Christ in her life is the best present, the greatest present she could use right now. It's all we could do for her was to pray. But it was the greatest gift that we could offer her at that time, and the gift of the presence of God Almighty in her time of need. And I'm sure there's somebody here going, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what's going on in my life. You don't know what's happening in the scenes between me and my spouse. You don't know what my spouse has been doing, or you don't know what my sons and my kids are up to. You don't know what's going on. You don't know about my addiction, whatever that addiction may be. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you don't know. You don't understand. You don't understand. You don't understand. Nobody understands. Except Christ. Amen. Except Christ. He understands what you may be going through. I know there are people hurting here today. There are people who should be in this church who we've lost over this last year, and they're not here with us today. And I miss them. And I hurt because I know that they're not here. And I know there are others that are hurting here today because their spouses may not be with them, or they may have lost, or may have received bad news, whatever the case may be. But I want to assure you that Jesus Christ is here, and he understands. And he is the best present you could have for this Christmas season. If you would, turn me real quick to the book of Luke. We'll wrap this thing up real quick here. The book of Luke, chapter 2. Verses 8 to 15. Every Christmas morning in our house, we read this passage. I'm not going to read the first 8 verses. I'm just going to start at verse 8. And there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing which the Lord has told us about." To the shepherds, from the angel, "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in this town of David, a Savior has been born to you. And this will be a sign to you that you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." The angel's message to the shepherd was that this baby is your Savior, your King, your Christ, and your gift, straight from God, just to you, and just for you. Jesus is a gift to you from God. He's God's very special and personal gifts of grace when you need grace. Forgiveness when you need to get forgiven or give forgiveness. Personal gift of healing and peace, hope and direction, promise and eternity to you, personally, individually. I want to go back to the gifts here just a minute ago that we were talking about. How many of you can remember the best gift you got 10 years ago? How many of you can remember the best gift you got 5 years ago? 3 years? I see the guys looking at each other. Oh, what'd Mom get me? What'd Dad get me? 2 years? I'm going to be honest. I don't remember the best gift I got last year. 1 year? Can you remember the best gift you got last year? And we put so much emphasis on presents. You do? Okay. How many of you can remember when you felt the presence of God in your life for the first time? One. Let's go back. How many? 5 years? 10 years? 15 years? How far back can you remember? How many years ago was it? You can remember it. How many years ago? At least 30. I can remember to the moment, I know exactly where I was, what I was doing, what I was driving, probably what I was wearing, and it was 28 years ago. I remember exactly when I felt the presence of the Lord for the first time in my life. That is a gift. That is a present that keeps on giving. And not only that, he will give today and tonight and tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day if you will allow him into your life. There may be some here who have never experienced that presence in his life. And I hope you do. I hope you can take some time to think about what this Christmas season is truly, really all about. And it's about his presence in our life, not the presence under the tree. On our presents, we put these little tags. To Kim from Matthew. To Mom and Dad from Kim. And to Matthew from Mom and Dad. And the way people know what the gifts are for and who they're from, so they can see what the gift is, who gave them the gift. Had Jesus worn a tag, the tag would have read, "As a baby in the manger, to David, from God, with love." As the man teaching the way to God, healing the sick, finding the lost, and touching the heartbroken, to Kimberly, from God, with love. And on the cross, bearing the weight of humanity's sin, to Michael, to Norm, to Ron, to Mary, to us all, from God, with love. Jesus came as a baby that was wrapped in the strips of cloth and lying in a manger, God's gift to you. But unless we accept him and let him live in our hearts as our Lord, Savior, and King, the gift really has no value to us. If you don't open the gift, it has no value to you. And each of us has a gift with our name on it, if we look at it that way. Jesus is God's gift. Open your heart, open your life, let him come out of the manger and out of the pictures and out of the pages of the Bible, and let him into your heart today, if you would. Amen. And if you have him in your heart, recommit your heart to him today. I read an article the other day about a man named Michael Reed. I'll read this and then we'll close it here. Michael Reed lives in Gatlinburg. We all know what happened in Gatlinburg just recently with the major fires. 14 people killed, 24 homes destroyed. I think that's what it says. Maybe more than that. Maybe 2,400 is what it was. And 24 buildings damaged and destroyed, 14 people killed, and $500 million in damage. Michael Reed lost his wife and two daughters in that fire. He wrote the letter to the two boys who start the fire. He said to the two teenagers, I don't even know if he knew their names yet, but to the two teenagers who started the wildfires, "People stop me on the streets every day, and they ask me the same question, 'What can we do for you?' And my answer has been the same every time. Love those closest to you a little stronger, hold them a little tighter, and don't take a single moment for granted. As I learned of your arrests last week, I sat in silence for a very, very long time. You may be too young to understand this, but even through this tragedy, I can feel God with me and my son. I have felt my wife and my daughters touch me from heaven, and I have seen them give me signs that they are looking down on us. Forgive me for the theology. They are happy, they are at peace, they are together." Please, again, forgive me for the theology there. "As humans, it is sometimes hard to show grace. We hold grudges. We stay angry. We point the finger and feel we have to lay the blame somewhere. It's human nature and is completely understandable. But I did not raise my children to live with hate. I did not teach my girls or my son to point the finger at others. John chapter 8, verse 7 says, 'Let he who has not cast sin cast the first stone.'" He said, "Forgiveness isn't for you, it's for me. It's for my son. It's for my wife and my daughters. And it is for this community who lost so much in this tragedy. He said, I, as well as countless others, have been changed forever because of your actions, and it is up to you to seek God's forgiveness. I hope someday you will seek it, that you can seek it, and be at peace. He says, I forgive you. My son forgives you. My wife and my beautiful girls forgive you. We know you didn't mean for this to happen, and we know you would take it all back if you could. We will pray for you every day. We will pray for your parents and your family members every day. We will pray for your peace. We will show you grace. Why? Because that's what Jesus would do.
Amen.
And he finishes it up with faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. I hope today, as we open the presents tonight or tomorrow, whatever the case may be, keep the presents in perspective of what they really are and realize the presence of the greatest gift given to all mankind. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you this morning once again as we celebrate our holiday.